This is Leo Baybue for KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio. Folks, the 7th in-person Cabin Fever Reliever Benefit Radio Variety Show for KTWH is happening on Sunday, March 12th. The doors will open at the Two Harbors High School at 3 p.m. for the great show that begins at 4 p.m. We're featuring 10 acts, more or less, and a great house band, the Two Harbors Ukulele Group, a.k.a. Thug. We've got Leslie Black on board, our KTWH Beat Farm host. She'll be joining Steve Sokola as co-masters of ceremonies. And I've reached out through the technological magic to the heart of the deepest Florida today to consult Mr. Steve Sokola, the Prince of Palo and the conductor of the overpopulated one-man band. Have we got you on? Are you there, Steve?
Yeah!
Yeah, from sunny Florida. I had a bunch of gigs down here. I'm glad that we can make the robots make this happen. That's us. Happy to be here, boss.
Well, it's good that we can do this while we still have some control over the robots, Steve. A little later on in this life, we may be reporting for duty.
Won't be long now.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, AI will be doing my whole job for me, which... it's good to say. I did a show with the Robot Rickshaw, the robot one-man band out of Duluth, and he caught fire and blew up, so I ended up having to fill in for his gig. So we got a little time, but yeah, definitely starting to get leery about them robots there. Yeah.
Are you telling me that the AI overpopulated one-man bands aren't quite ready to go autonomous yet, that they blow up? That's good news.
Yes. There's that song about it. I think it's called Jackson's Mighty Hammer or something. There's something about a hammer, about a robot versus a guy, and the guy wins in the end, but then he dies. That's the story of my life. I'll compete with the robot one-man band until I win.
A true John Henry. Oh, wow. Steve, it's hard to know where to begin or where to end with you, so I'll just, for folks that are less familiar, and I don't know if they've been hiding under a rock because you try to appear in every Northland community and entertain people, and I hope that's okay.
He's calling about you... to do the impossible. He's going to describe me.
Yep. I don't know if I can do it. I can tell people some descriptors. I don't know. I think you might hold a world record for playing an accordion while running.
The 5K record. We scoured through Guinness and everywhere else on the internet. We couldn't find anybody else with anything established. So apparently my running a 5K nonstop playing an accordion for 33 minutes and I can't remember, it was 49 or 21 seconds or whatever, is a world record. Anybody in better shape could beat me, but nobody could play the accordion while doing it, apparently. So
a lot of
better accordionists, a lot of better runners, but not a single person on the planet that can whip them out both, you know?
That's right. So those are the facts, accordion to you.
Yeah, accordion.
That's...
Squeeze them in there, all them accordion jokes and facts.
That's right. The accordion jokes could take up the rest of the interview, so we'll watch it on that front, Steve. That seems to be your primary weapon or instrument of choice, but you have so many more.
Yeah, singing in the accordion. I always say I'm a model. I mean a comedian. So a little bit of music, a little bit of jokes, a little bit of stuntman work. It's all good.
Yeah, and
I got the overpopulated one-man band. We travel all over the country, and I've been to Finland and Germany too, but... mostly the U.S.
From the other day, a brief conversation we had, it sounds like you had a Finnish American angle to your appearance in Florida.
Yeah, there was a FinFest down here called Midnight Sun Festival. It's a really popular retirement community for people from the U.S. as well as Finland. So a lot of folks with Finnish heritage or even Finnish Americans, people that moved from Finland directly here. I'm like sixth or fifth generation from Finland, so I'm definitely not one of the big shots, but my Finnish is good enough that I could hold my own talking with those people, and I got to share the stage with some pretty famous people from Finland, so it was pretty neat for me as a little farm boy from little old Palo, Minnesota, like me.
So you're getting a little validation here for all this hard work or whatever whatever we call what it is that you've immersed yourself in, because you're a presence. You've got lots of videos. You've got lots of appearances around our area. And I didn't know how far and wide the rumors of your fame had spread, apparently to Florida.
I won't believe I made it till I've had gigs on Mars. I'm like Sasquatch, except I'm a lot easier to find and a heck of a lot easier to believe in.
Well, like I said before, I'm not sure where to begin and end with anything with you, Steve, but let's go back to your humble roots, if we could. You are from Palo, and could you describe for folks exactly what that means or where that is or what the GPS coordinates
Palo,
are?
Palo, Minnesota, it's down south. I am from the south. I'm south of Aurora, Minnesota, about 15 minutes. It's an hour north of Duluth in rural Minnesota. That's where my family farm is. I lived on that farm for like 18 years, but I never grew up.
So yeah.
I say I grew up on a farm, but it's all bogus. I never grew up and never will.
Well, you got bigger. You got physically bigger, and mentally you occupy more space.
I ate a lot of breakfast, lunch, and dinner at that place, that was good. So I grew up there. It's kind of a historically Finnish farm community, but I went to school sometimes up in Aurora. I didn't always go. Sometimes the cows were out, and sometimes they actually were. My secretary loved me. So anyway, since those days, I've been traveling all over. I did a little stint out in New Jersey for 4 years. I think they call that college, but pulled out of there with a little piece of paper and a whole lot of knowledge, and it was real fun.
Are you a graduate then? Are you a graduate of Rowan University?
Rowan University in New Jersey. I graduated from their performing arts department. I played in the pep band, did a lot of accompanying on the piano, and tutored and taught some piano lessons, and left that campus permanently scarred with my wacky antics.
Well, I will tell you this, that my namesake nephew is a freshman at said university, Rowan University in Greater Glassboro.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding you.
Oh, my God.
I grew up in the Garden State, and he is going for some highfalutin aerospace or robotic engineering pursuit, Steve. He's not going to hear much about your performing.
My two best friends there were engineers, and we always joked they're engineers, but they're engineering students. I was like, oh, you ain't making any money yet.
Yeah.
I'm a musician. I have gigs this weekend. Now they're all doing way better, but...
I guess
keep in touch. Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
Good luck to your nephew.
Thank you, incredible. Steve. I think that's what they invented unpaid internships for, is so that people in the sciences and tech world could know what it's like to live like a musician.
That's the best. I gotta write that one down.
You know?
Yeah.
Really? Because yours is like a semi-unpaid internship for life. I don't know why you sign on for that.
It's kind of a beautiful little circle. Yeah, when I was just starting as a one-man band, I even consulted my two engineering buddies to like critique what I had and help me organize the mechanics of it to make me be able to do more things, and how I could rig it up with duct tape and metal and the weird welds we tried. And we tried everything on there.
I think
my setup right now is about as good as it can get, but, you know, I said that when I only did 11 things. Now I got 21, so...
That was going to be my trivia question for the whole audience, is to guess how many different sound sources you could generate. I don't know if they all generate a distinct sound or if it all blends into a great cacophony.
Yeah, it depends. If it's a one-off joke, I'll just do a rubber chicken or just a dinger or a spin whistle. But it's hard to explain. But yeah, there's double bass drums, there's a tambourine, a hi-hat, a cowbell, the accordion with both hands. I got a cymbal attached to a helmet. I got a slide whistle that's attached to my microphone stand. And of course, both the elbows do something under the kneecaps. I got horns and triangle dingers. And it's more than any one man should be able to do. But, you know, I had a heck of a lot of free time growing up. So all I did was dream, you know. Now I'm living it.
So sometimes you have to put down one thing to hold another. Does that ever get in your way, or do you have multiple arms now?
Yeah.
For instance, I hear you playing a pocket trumpet sometimes, like on Ring of Fire. Are you also holding an accordion while you do that, or attempting to play it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which there's one song where I play the lowest, the closest note to my armpit with the accordion. I play the accordion with my armpit while I play trumpet, while my elbow does something else. And I've tried attaching like a screwdriver to my elbow so I can hit my bells while I play trumpet. And you kind of got to see it. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but come check out a gig if you haven't seen it, folks. But
yeah,
I'm real proud of it.
Yeah, so it is no overstatement to talk about you as a overpopulated one-man band, because the overpopulation is all the dang voices and sounds you're making. It's incredible, Steve.
Yeah, So I got a couple other bands, but yeah, the one-man band has always been the most drama. You know, my drummer is a jerk. My bass player never shows up. The one-man band. It's even worse for the schedule, but we end up there usually.
Do you travel across the country? Oh, that's right. You didn't fly, because I was going to ask you, do you have duffel bags or, prop boxes?
It's probably 150 pounds of band equipment if you add it all up. So I brought my 07 Chrysler minivan, rusty godsend, down with me. I had 2 gigs Lake Worth, 2 gigs Naples, and grandparents visiting here, my grandma in Tampa, and auntie and some other family. So,
wow.
But yeah, I've road trip to Arizona. I've had a couple things in Texas. Sometimes I just fly with accordion. When I went to Finland, I did a hybrid of my one-man band where I brought my trinkets and borrowed a hi-hat and a bass drum and whatever I could scrounge from a drummer I knew. And yeah, we survived. The logistics are a nightmare, but we get her done.
As an MC, as a master of ceremony, somebody who has to introduce other people and keep a show moving,
We
can't really expect your one-man band operation, but at least you and your accordion on Sunday at the Cabin Fever?
Yeah, I'm sure I'll have an accordion on, but yeah, if they got 10 acts and we only got, 6 hours to do it or four, I can't remember.
Steve, don't break it
to
people.
I don't intend to play that.
Don't give away the fact that it's a marathon show. We're telling people it's going to be over in 2 hours. They'll be the best 2 hours of their lives if we can help it.
I gotcha. That's a lot of bands though, but that ain't up to us. But
no,
we'll get through it one way or another. I'm glad to fill in the gaps with my jokes and accordion stuff. And yeah, Leslie and I've been talking. We're planning a couple little accordion flute joke one-off things to fill in the gap. So I'm excited. I can't wait. Cabin Fever reliever. I love that Two Harbors too. You guys do a lot. A little town with a big roar.
Hey, on the shore, little town with a big roar by the shore. Yeah, Steve.
Ooh, I like it. And you're a Leo.
So I'm a Leo, and you're more from the woods, but we got you down by the lake. I'm glad you're liking it down here.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you, we've done our best to describe what it is that you do when you're entertaining people and occupying their time, and you wear your badge of Finnish American pretty proudly, and I want to dig in there. I'm not trying to create a scandal, but are you 100% Finnish, or do you have different sides of your family
heritage? Yeah, I don't. There's a lot of adoption on the one side, but yeah, no. The short answer is no. Anybody who's full-blooded Finnish, go to the doctor. Please don't reproduce any further, because you're some of the most inbred people on the planet. It's not a matter of pride to be a full-blood Finn. You gotta. Quit swimming in the shallow end of the gene pool.
Okay, folks, I did not pre-approve that joke, but Steve said it, and there it is. Steve, so we've talked about the various descriptions that others may put on you, like there are a lot of YouTube videos where you can take a peek at what Steve sometimes does in his most outlandish moments. But if someone was to really want to get to know the real you, how is it that you would describe Steve Sokola? What is his mission, at least on the public side of your life? What is your mission?
Well, I guess it's pretty simple. I'm an entertainer. I tried to be a comedian, and they were like, you're good, but you're something else. I tried to be a musician, and it was, you're really good, but you're something else. And I was a stunt man. I'd done a little modeling. I'd done a little everything. And at the end of the day, you just be yourself. It's such a simple message, I guess. I don't overdo it, but at the end of the day, even if you're with the love of your life, you're alone in your own mind, so you have to love yourself somehow. I guess if I had some words of wisdom, I'm better at jokes, boss, but words of wisdom is that your hourglass sand is currently falling. Make every drop of sand that goes through your lifetime. Make it a good one. Make it count. Squeeze the tube out of the toothpaste. Get the vice grips if you need to. Once it's all said and done, a lot more has been said than done, but you want to be proud of yourself when it's all over. So I think that's why I started becoming a YouTuber, because it's video evidence of what a nutcase I was back in the 20s.
Oh, have you graduated another decade then? Is that what you're... I don't know your age, and you seem timeless. I can't even guess.
Yeah, gosh, and when you get to be my age, you don't even remember. No, I'm 26. As of the time of this interview in early March,
I got
2023. I'm 26.
Well, you've packed a bunch of stuff in there already, Steve, and I appreciate your hourglass analogy. You know, a lot of folks probably don't understand that part of what you were doing out there at Rowan University is you're getting training as an operatic singer. Is that?
Yes.
Can you comment
I'm
on?
I'm technically a trained opera singer.
Yeah. Can you comment on whether that was a productive thing to do in terms of at least learning about yourself and your abilities? I take it you're not pursuing the Metropolitan Opera or anything of that nature, but how does the
timing couldn't have been more perfect. I'll tell you, I started doing the opera when I was still in high school. I started building the set for the opera company, the Northern Lights Music Festival. I love them. That's kind of where I got my start in formal music. Yeah, I did it every single summer for, I think, 10 or 11 years. I can't even remember when 2013 was, but yeah, when the pandemic hit, it was right after I graduated. I graduated college in May of 2019, and I think pandemic showed up and took over on March of the next year, 2020, if I'm correct. So
yes,
it kind of influenced my decision that, okay, I was thinking of moving to a city and trying to do all that stuff, but I found out the easy way instead of the hard way for once in my gosh darn life that you can make a lot more than an opera singer makes doing the one-man band and the comedy stuff. So it was kind of more financially driven. The opera couldn't afford me, to be candid with you. A guy's got to eat. So if I went back, got a master's degree, and I got in the cohort, it would be a little more doable, but I've been telling some of the people that really want me to do the opera stuff, once I get a career-ending injury on my unicycle or stilts or any of the various stunts I do, then I'll probably try a little harder on the formal music. But, you know, it's a lot of, there's a huge hierarchy there, and I just want to entertain people.
Yeah.
Is
what you're saying that for the opera singer trained in a bachelor's program, you have a really long period of paying dues that doesn't guarantee anything?
Yeah, I won't talk any trash about it. It's for people that's their life vision and what they're born and bred to do. It's a beautiful thing to pay your dues and all that. But I think there's the elephant in the room. I'm a 5'9", super smiley, happy blonde guy with a villainous bass voice. So they don't want no tiny young man that's got a great smile as their villain. Most operas, the low bass is always the bad guy. So
yeah,
I only know of a handful of operas where the low bass is like the lead role or anything. So it's kind of more of a, you got to have a long-term dream and a long-term goal in order to even begin something. And for me, it was like, if opera is going to be a big part of my life goal, it'll be with one of the three that I'm currently composing. I'm writing three different operas. They're not going well because the bands and the one-man band and the comedy and the other stuff has been going well and paying way more bills. But I sure hope in the future I get a couple commissions and can delegate a little bit more of the free time and gig time into composing. Because a live gig's wonderful. You can get it on video. You can look back on it. But I think a stronger legacy would be me publishing an opera someday. And you can bet I'm going to have a fun role for a low bass to do that isn't super limiting, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to compliment you on anticipating. That was one of the questions I had, because I've been tracking your various recordings, and you do compose. Yeah. You've composed a lot of songs. Most of them are in a whimsical vein. I mean, some of them are pretty reflective and interesting lyrically, but always with a angle to bring out some of the joy and whimsy in life and not get too down. And operas mean you really sometimes span the gamut of emotions. It gets sometimes melodramatic. Often means you got to work with a lot of musicians, Steve. Or do you have a whole different vision? Or your opera is more accordion driven?
Yeah, well, I can tell you all of my operas are what I would consider comic opera. That's always been my strength, the funny side. But on the contrary, comic opera, in my opinion, has almost a greater opportunity to impact someone seriously and emotionally, because it's contrast that gets you. You know, if you're telling a joke, you need a solid punchline, but you also need a solid setup. And I don't know, watching a lady die at the end every single time, it's overdone in my humble opinion. So I like to come up with a plot that no one ever has before, you know. It's and opera's a lot, it's been a lot more of telling a story that's already been told, and you know that ain't my style. I like to lead them going one way and then don't.
Yeah, you throw the curveball at just the right moment. I get that. And I'm curious, you have a pretty steady, smiling optimism in your voice and when I see you performing. Don't you have days like the rest of us that make it tough to get up for a show where you got to be so profoundly fun?
Well, there was a gal in my high school that always had a smile, and I asked her why, how. I first asked her why, and then she told me why, and I asked her how, and I don't think she ever had an answer for me, but I just found it's more of a productivity thing. If you go into something negative, the odds that you succeed are already significantly less. I have a handful of haters, but most of them, it's either a jealous or they haven't looked into the reality, or some type of insecurity exists. With me, it's not worth the time. If there's something if you don't believe in yourself, you're already screwed. Enough people are going to doubt you just for your existence. So as I make my mark on this world, I don't compare my schedule to anybody else because I'm hoping to accomplish more than anyone else. I don't compare my shortcomings to others because it's all about what you get done at the end of the day. And everyone that seeks to harm me, or the people who've stolen from me or tried to commit fraud or whatever on any of my compositions in the past, it's like, if I can see my idea come to fruition, I'm unable to. I get hurts, of course, but at the end of the day, I'm a Gatling gun. Some people are snipers. You might not know where they're shooting from, but with me, I think I'll get a lot more done if I just keep
you just keep it coming, is what you mean. Yeah. Okay.
It shouldn't be a war analogy. I should have made a basketball analogy. You take more shots, you score more points.
Take more three-pointers.
I like to think I'm pretty efficient, too. I'm more of a Curry, not a, yeah.
You don't complete the alley-oop at 5'9" like I am. We don't complete many slam dunks, but we get the job done.
Since it's an analogy, I can say whatever I want. I dunk it from the three-point line. That's what I'm saying. It's going to go all right.
All right. Well, now that we've messed a lot of metaphors up, Steve, I was just curious. I thought of this question as asking you if any musician or entertainers have been influences or heroes for what you do, but maybe it's a broader question of who's really influenced and inspired you to do what you're embarked on doing.
Gotcha. I'll start with the mainstream, and then I'll work my way into the less mainstream. The top three in the mainstream are Weird Al, of course, and Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton has been my spirit animal since I'm a kid. Just she grew up real poverty-stricken. I didn't come from a whole lot of opportunities either. Sometimes you got to create your own opportunities or find a way to make your mark on the world anyway. So those two are kind of the big ones. In comedy, I love East Molecula and Rodney Dangerfield. In comedy, Rodney Dangerfield's his pace, you know, it's just relentless joke after joke. Just the way sometimes he won't even give the audience a time to laugh. He starts the next. It's like you get him on the ropes. That's when you got to go for the jugular, you know. So that's my comedy. And the Dudesons and the cast of Johnny Knoxville and Steve-O the Dudesons are a Finnish stuntman group from Finland. They were always my heroes growing up, and they even inspired the Jackass, it's called.
Yeah, the Finns came first on this. Did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and they even, like, in one of their seasons, they did a combination with the Dudesons, and sure enough, their Americans really helped the Finns get recognized. But the Finns are way crazier, because you don't have to go through nearly as many legal hoops to be a stuntman group. In Finland, so
there are fewer.
Always my dream.
They have fewer lawyers on the team. Sorry.
Yeah, so those are my mainstream influences. Of course, the legendary Finnish American musician Bobby Arrow from Zim, Minnesota, has always been another hero of mine. I grew up listening to him, thinking he was funny and Finnish, but I didn't really care much for the Finnish heritage until I got like 17, 18, and I realized, oh, okay, it's more about community and less about me.
Yeah,
I guess that's why. And I learned Finnish because wanted to be able, not to get emotional, but when you go to a nursing home or so and you see someone that Alzheimer's has completely taken over their mind and they start speaking their mother tongue Finnish or something at the nursing homes, sometimes hearing that old-timey music in Finnish really just hammers at home. And luckily, through the opera, I learned German, a little bit of plenty of French, and Italian, a little bit of Russian, and I know some Ukrainian, and I probably sing in 100 languages. So,
wow.
Through repertoire, I guess. I like to, it's not so much about appealing, it's about if you only do your originals, you're limiting yourself and your connection to other people. As an entertainer, it's your job to improve the lives around you, in my opinion. Yeah, be the darn ray of sunshine you know you can be. That's kind of my thing. I know a lot of musicians that are in it for themselves, and it's like, I'd rather entertain people, tell them the song, or sing the songs that they heard in their childhood, or songs that they... If you only do originals, you completely eliminate the chance that someone will say, that was my husband and my wedding song, or whatever the case may be. So yeah. I'm a man of the community and a worldly guy, I guess, which is funny. I'm a farm boy.
Yeah, well, now you're hitting the big cities, or at least the populated areas of the country, by going to the Southeast. But you'll be back up in rural Minnesota on Sunday. Steve, we're going to wrap it up, and just we look forward so much to having you on stage sharing the celebration of the community on Sunday.
Can't wait to see it. It's going to be good. I missed it. Yeah, Two Harbors is great. They do a lot of cool stuff. I hope people come out.
Absolutely. We do too, Steve. So I know you, though. You'll entertain if there's 12 people in the audience or 600. And we'd rather have 600. But if there are 12, you'll do a bang-up job. I know. Thanks so much.
I'll be bringing some Florida sunshine for you. Let's welcome the spring, everybody. See you there.
All right. We'll look forward to a little cabin fever relief with you, Steve. We'll get out the thermometers and check to see if it works.
You got it.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks
a
lot.
See you soon.
As we say,
Leo, he's a Cancer.
That's true. By birth date, I am, Steve. You got that right. And as we like to say, we'll see you on the radio, Steve Sokola. Take care now.
Yeah. Bye now.
Bye for now. That was Steve Sokola. He'll be at the Cabin Fever Reliever on Sunday, March 12th. Doors open at 3. The show gets underway 4 p.m.